It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18+. You're listening to Later with Mo Kelly on demand from KFI AM 640.
The traffic is always a nightmare in Los Angeles, the Los Angeles County. But I mean a nightmare inside of a nightmare wrapped around a night terror. It was really, really bad. And I was zooming through all the surface streets trying to get to work today, and I had no problem because I knew exactly where I was on the grid map. And let me back up for a second. It's weird. The stuff that you remember from childhood, it's weird, the types of lessons that your parents give you that stick with you for your whole life. And this has to do with traffic, so bear with me. When I was growing up, my mother would tell me, don't go out of the house without putting on a belt. You're not completely dressed. I'm being serious. And to this day, wearing a belt. Okay. And my mother would also tell me, okay, don't leave the house without wearing an undershirt. To this day, some 48 years later, I'm still doing it. Some of the lessons that my father would teach me, it's like when I started driving, getting to the traffic portion of this, he would say, you need to learn the city. You need to learn the north-south streets and the east-west streets. You need to learn how to use a Thomas map guide because they didn't have GPS back in the 1970s and in early 1980s, okay? So I learned how Los Angeles was laid out. He said, okay, son, you need to understand that the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. So you'll never be lost and you'll always be able to find your way wherever you need to go. So driving around LA has always been a function of knowing the city, knowing where I was at any given moment. And I never really had to rely on GPS. It makes it easier when you're just, you know, trying to go from here to there. And I know, okay, this is about 19th Street. Okay, it's about downtown. I know where it is, but GPS will tell me the exact location. But I'm very comfortable getting around. The point of this is this. When I saw what was happening with the 10 freeway being shut down today because of that crazy shooting and shootout with police, when I saw, and I also check in advance, because usually I go on the 110 North, I have to see whether the Lakers are going to be playing at Crypto.com Arena. And it turns out they were, or they might have been, and so I had to take that into consideration. And then I saw that the Dodgers obviously were going to be playing at Dodger Stadium. So I said, okay, so only one of the two teams is going to be playing in L.A., but I know with the Dodgers, it's going to be probably even more difficult given what was shut down with the 10 freeway in both directions. So I said, let me just make sure I get to the office nice and early. So I left even earlier, and I knew, okay, let me just drive down Western. I'll be able to avoid a lot of the traffic. And that's what I did. Long story short is I was just thinking about all these memories and all these lessons that my parents had instilled in me that I didn't even think about, but all of a sudden they were just there. You know, I'm getting dressed today, and I think, okay, let me put on my undershirt because I felt like my mother was yelling at me. Let me put on a belt because, like, my mother's standing over me. She was nowhere around me. She was, like, in Agua Caliente doing something with my sister and her son. But the stuff that sticks with you and right next to that is the stuff that my father would tell me as far as when I get into a car, you know, always make sure you have some money for some gas and I always have money like $5 just in case my ATM card doesn't work. Mm-hmm. Those types of things. And it was just weird because even though the traffic was absolute hell for 99% of people, I didn't have any issues because of stuff that my father had instilled in me many, many years ago.
Because Mo knows where to go.
I know where I am, at least. You could drop me off in L.A. just about anywhere, and I know where I am. So even though people were freaking out with the traffic, I didn't have to freak out because, okay, I know where I am. I know the north-south streets, and I know the grid system, and I know how I can basically get wherever I need to go. I know if I go north on Western, I'll eventually hit the 101 freeway. I can get on the 101 freeway and then get to Burbank.
I think that's another thing that we've kind of lost, because everybody relies so heavily on their GPSs. Because I know I did kind of the same thing when I moved here, because LA is ginormous.
It's vast. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so I didn't look at any maps and I just drove around for like the first month that I was here. just so I could kind of figure stuff out. And I still don't know where tons of stuff is, but it helped me a lot.
No, I agree with that. I'm quite sure that helped you tremendously, especially if you didn't grow up here. I grew up here, and it's one thing when you grow up here and you're just sitting in a car riding with your parents or an adult, you're not learning the city. But when you start driving, I highly recommend that you just drive the city and learn where streets begin and end. You know, when does La Brea turn into Hawthorne? That kind of thing. You know, where are you if someone says they're in Mid-Wilshire? You know, where is Koreatown? Things of that nature.
I know that Stefan could probably relate to this because I learned a lot more about the city from, I'm talking from Orange County all the way back over to West Hills. When I was driving Uber, you learned so many shortcuts, so many side streets you didn't even know existed. And like you, I drove a lot just driving all around. But that right there, that let me know how to get anywhere within minutes just because I just remember having to take all these routes.
Yeah. And you learn, I guess, usually through process of elimination, what streets run parallel to the freeway. Like if you're driving on the 110, if you know the 110, you know that Figueroa is running right alongside it. If you're driving the 91, you know, for the most part, Artesia Boulevard is running right alongside it. That's just coming from driving in the city for many, many years. And sometimes GPS doesn't help you.
Yeah.
And a lot of times I look at my GPS like, what are you doing? It may be the shortest physical distance, but it's going in a zigzag portion. It's like, no, it's going to take longer in time to actually get there. I don't care what the GPS says. I know the city.
Yeah.
That is going to take me through Santa Monica, you know, and a little Santa Monica Boulevard is going to slow me down. It's like, no. Just thinking about all these things with these lessons that technology cannot replace. And I know a lot of people were freaking out today. Oh, my gosh, the 10 freeway is shut down in both directions. And it was hell for a lot of people. And I was just in my car, driving along, and I was passing by the 10 freeway. It's like, ooh, that looks bad. And I laughed, and I kept on going north on Western. And then I got on the 101, and everything was just fine. But that's the beauty of living in Southern California, where you have to plan your life around what freeway that either you're going to take or avoid. How you have to plan your whole day around, okay, I have to get from home to work. There are 22 miles in between, but it might take me 2 hours if I'm not careful. No exaggeration.
Yeah.
No exaggeration. If I would have gotten on the 110 freeway, it probably would have come to a complete stop, and I might have been locked on the freeway, unable to get off, and then you just stuck there for an inordinate amount of time when, if you know the city, you know to avoid it instantaneously. Just something to think about, just living here in L.A. and how being from L.A., it does give you a larger advantage. And also, if you're just over a certain age, you know, you're not dependent upon GPS like some of the youngins are.
Yeah.
They would not know how to get around this city if all of a sudden the GPS signal went out.
I feel sorry for my son.
Yeah, and I was looking at some of the Gen Zers in the studio and the millennials like, yeah, I'm talking about you. You damn right I'm talking about you. It's Later with Mo Kelly, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. When we come back, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It's official. LA County COVID-19 emergency declaration ended today.
You're listening to Later with Mo Kelly on demand from KFI AM 640.
LA County has ended the COVID-19 emergency officially today as the case rate falls to a 20-month low. And yeah, we had been working under the assumption that the pandemic was over, had been over for quite some time, but officially that emergency declaration had not been lifted. But it you think about how long it's been, because it started like in late 2019, early 2020, in a world sense. And by March 2020, we had been shut down, as they say, air quotes, as far as schools had started closing, professional sports leagues had started shutting down, and not nearly sure about what the future would bring. That's like March, April of 2020. And here we are, literally almost to the day, 3 months and some days, 3 years and some days later. And it seemed like it went by like that.
Yeah, but the ramifications.
I know. I mean, looking back, it's hard to believe that it's been a whole 3 years since the beginning of the pandemic, and how much we collectively as Angelenos, as Californians, as, you know, citizens of the United States, what we have been through, the people that we have lost, regardless of what you think about COVID-19, that's what I think about. I think about how our economy has changed. I think about how restaurant business has changed. I think about how we buy things online now and shop in a way that we didn't prior to the pandemic. I think about how we consume movies and entertainment now, post-pandemic as opposed to prior to the pandemic. There were a lot of changes that hopefully all of us went through on some level. I remember I said to myself consciously, because I didn't know how long the pandemic was going to be, but I said, I want to make sure those days that I was at home working from home, that I was going to get something out of it. I was not going to be the exact same dude after the pandemic than before the pandemic. So I made it a point to lose like 35 pounds.
You went the opposite direction of most people.
Yeah, well, but it was that comes to conscious decision.
Yeah.
You know, I had to be very conscious and intentional. And when everything opened back up, it made it more difficult to adhere to a lot of the parameters I had put on my life and lifestyle, because back during the pandemic, the only place I was going was like the grocery store. I wasn't eating out per se.
Well, you couldn't.
That's my point.
For quite a while.
Right. Right. So the things that I developed better habits at, well, it was easier to do, at least during that time. Now, coming to work, you get back into that old routine of, let me just get some fast food, or, you know, okay, I'll go ahead and eat at 12 o'clock at night. All the things that I wasn't doing before because I wasn't in an office situation.
I think for me, the thing that I take away from this news of the day, when I saw it, the thing that hit me first and foremost was having COVID. And I know there's a lot of people who are like, oh man, I get to go back out and finally all the masks are done and all the restrictions are over. All that's behind us. And I think about myself and those like me who dealt with COVID firsthand and how scary that was. And there was a point in time when I was really, really going through the throes of it that I said to myself, I need to write my will. I think this is about to take me out.
Did you have it early on?
No. I made it a long time without it because I was very serious masking, distancing. Just because of my transplant alone, that just put me on high alert. And so when I got it, I was shocked that I got it. It was out of nowhere and it hit me hard.
How long did you deal with it?
I think it was probably about a good 3 weeks that I was really, really sick with it.
But you didn't have to be hospitalized.
Did not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But they were monitoring you.
They were monitoring me closely. And the Paxlovid, I think when I started taking that is when I started feeling better. Because I was really scared. My breathing started to become really problematic. My lungs hurt. My body hurt. Everything felt like I was on fire. Couldn't taste anything. Couldn't smell anything. I was going through all of the symptoms. And then, thank goodness for that drug, because when it started feeling better and I started coming out on the other side, I said to myself, okay, I hope no one ever, ever, ever goes through this.
See, it's so weird. To my knowledge, that's the only way I can say it. To my knowledge, I've never gotten COVID. Now, I've masked, I've gotten boosted, gotten all that kind of stuff. I'm O positive blood type, supposedly makes you less susceptible. Supposedly less susceptible. My wife has gotten it twice. People, everyone around me, my immediate circumstance, and working in radio, I just assumed I would get it because, you know, you're sharing equipment. But to my knowledge and my doctor's knowledge, I've never gotten it. So I don't even know what to make of that. Not that I want it. Don't get me wrong.
Right,
you know,
right.
I've just, it's been in my house and it's skipped over me. I don't know what to say. But it didn't skip over 10 people that I know.
Right.
That it did take out.
That did take out, that we know, definitely.
That we know.
Yeah.
You know, so it's bittersweet in the respect that I'm glad that we, you know, as again, Angelenos, Californians, people in the United States have gotten past the pandemic. And this is just another one of those benchmarks where if in a governmental sense, they've officially lifted the emergency declaration. Yes, another milestone and benchmark has been reached. But I don't forget how much we as a country did go through, that it wasn't my imagination. It wasn't a hoax. Those people were real. They were family members. They were friends. They were classmates. They were coworkers, all of those. So I don't take this moment lightly, where even though we are coming out of the pandemic in an official sense, it doesn't change what we went through previously.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amy King, did you avoid COVID altogether?
To my knowledge, I have not had it.
Mm-hmm. Stefan, what about you?
Same here.
Yeah.
But almost everybody I know has had it.
Right. Right. And I'm thinking at this point, either I have had it, because I haven't been tested for antibodies, but either I have had it and didn't know it, maybe pre-test when they had an actual test for it, or I'm just less susceptible to it. That's the only thing I can think of, because I've had every imaginable exposure that comes to mind as far as people close proximity. Like my wife had got it over, I think it was Thanksgiving, and you know, I told you that whole story.
Yes.
You know, so we didn't know until like the next days. And you're living this man and wife, so...
The weekend that I got it, we were working together.
That's right.
We were working, and I tested positive like that Monday after our Sunday show. So, yeah.
And I've had maybe 15 COVID tests because of those various exposures. They've all come back negative. And I'm not saying I'm blessed because of that. I'm just saying I don't have any evidence to support that I've ever had it, but everyone around me has had it.
I also know people who've had it who had absolutely no symptoms. They just kept testing positive, but like not even, I think he said he had a mild headache one day, but nothing. So it's such a bizarre disease.
Yeah. And I'm glad we're on the other side of it. I thank my lucky stars, and I literally thank God that we are on the other side of it. So if you're just tuning in, L.A. County has officially ended the COVID-19 emergency, as according to the story in the L.A. Times, it is a milestone because the case rate has fallen to a 20-month low. Let's not look back, but let's also remember those we lost.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You're listening to Later with Mo Kelly on demand from KFI AM 640.
I wanted to talk about this particular day. This is March 31st. It's the last day of March. It is also the last day of what we knew as Twitter, what it was before, in terms of before Elon Musk had purchased it. Now, the verification system has been very controversial. It's been changed considerably. The legacy blue checkmark folks, which includes people like me, we lose our check marks supposedly at midnight tonight. And only way you get a check mark going forward is if you pay for Twitter Blue. I have said that kind of defeats the purpose of having a check mark in the first place, because the check mark let you know that you are at least speaking to the person verified in terms of identity. If I am reaching out to William Shatner and the William Shatner has the check mark next to his name, then I know I'm speaking to the William Shatner or his office or his intern. But it's actually the actual entity of William Shatner or his company. All that's out the window now. And part of the allure, no, I would say a lot of the allure of Twitter had to do with all of these, not in a sense of verified to, because they're special. It was the authenticity of the interaction. Like, for example, in this business, we reach out to people all the time trying to get them to come on the show. Hey, come on. If you have some time, we'd love to talk to you about your new movie or your new album or this, that, or the other. And the traditional way to go about it was we would reach out to the person's manager or their publicist or someone who may be like one degree of separation from that person. Twitter changed all that. It allowed me or Tuala to go right to that person and be able to establish a relationship, a rapport, and say, hey, will you come on what was then the Mo Kelly show, now Later with Mo Kelly? And it was an easy way to get past the gatekeeper and go to the actual person. Because look, most times, and you may not know this, when we reach out to people, there's no real guarantee that our request will even get to the intended individual. Because oftentimes, if and when we get that person on, I may say to him or her, you know, we've been trying to get you on for years. I remember it was actor Joe Morton, as a matter of fact. And I said, I've been wanting to have you on for years. It's like, he said, I had no idea. I've never received any requests from you, even though I had sent many requests to his publicist. So many times our requests never got to the actual person we wanted to have on, because the gatekeeper will make a decision. No, I'm not going to bother him with this. And so it never gets there. But Twitter, at least for me, allowed me to circumvent those gatekeepers and go directly to the person. That's how we got Vincent D'Onofrio on this program. That's how we got John Ratzenberger on this program. I mean, any number of people.
John Ratzenberger was a long time coming, too.
Yeah, we had worked on that since Comic-Con many years ago. But it allowed us to keep in touch and keep that relationship door open. So when it did present itself, an opportunity, he came on the show. That's the only real reason I was on Twitter, to be able to reach people. And so if you change it where the John Ratzenbergers or the William Shatners, you can't actually verify that you're talking to that person anymore. And you can make any type of parody account of that or impersonation account, then it doesn't hold the same sort of value for me. That's my side of the equation. Now, I saw this article in the LA Times asking about what celebrities would do, the other side of that equation. And there's some, from what I read, who said, like, look, I'm not going to pay the $8 for it because Twitter doesn't hold the same type of value for them. And so if anybody can be them on Twitter, then what's the point?
Yeah, because there are a whole lot of fake accounts that we've come across as far as trying to reach out to people. And even at a certain point in time, there were fake news accounts that were putting out fake articles. And so you had to be really careful. Is there anything that you can do without the verification, you, Mo Kelly, that you plan on doing to, like, maybe in your headline, in your title, anything that you can do to make sure that you are the only Mo Kelly out there?
There's nothing I can do. I mean, I can do a screenshot of my checkmark or something. I can be flippant like that, but there's nothing really I can do. My concern is there's nothing I can do to verify who I'm even reaching out to. Like, you can find, like, for example, you can go find some 25 different Will Smith accounts right now. Who knows which one is the right one? There is a Twitter Blue, as in a subscription-based Will Smith out there. I don't know if it's the actual one, because it's a different verification process. In fact, it's not a verification process. It's just that account holder has given a valid phone number and they're paying the $8 to $11 per month. That's all it means.
That's interesting, because even on our posts, like our show posts, I'll tag our different contributors. Like, I'll tag Nick, I'll tag Amy, you know, and like the other day we had Gabrielle Bourne on. You know, I tagged her because I found her actual Twitter account, and I use that on our show page so that people know when you click that link, you're going to her if you want to find out more information. But now moving forward, if we have celebrities who are saying, I'm not paying that, well, then I'm not tagging anybody anymore because it could be a fake account.
Right, and that's what I'm talking about. When people ask me, like, Mo, are you going to stay on Twitter? It's like, I guess I'll be on Twitter, but I won't be as active on Twitter because it doesn't provide the same type of value that it did prior to what is going to be April 1st, as in tomorrow. All these changes are supposed to happen tomorrow. That's just me, and everyone else, you know, you may be on Twitter for different reasons. It just won't hold the same type of importance or value because I can't do what I was doing before with it. I don't need to be on Twitter. You know, when I say that I have a hate relationship with Twitter, I was being serious, and I was saying that pre-Elon Musk. It didn't have anything to do with Elon Musk. I just thought that the whole culture of Twitter was a cesspool. You know, there's nothing but angry, hateful, and anonymous trolls out there for the most part. And if you approach me with a decency or a modicum of respect, then you'll get that in return. If you come at me like you don't have any home training, then I'm going to respond to you in kind. And if there's no real professional value for me, then what's the point? And here's something else. Now, they're going to be charging companies I think, $1,000 per month for a company to be verified. I don't know, like for iHeartMedia, I don't know whether that means it's $1,000 for iHeartMedia and then every host who works for iHeartMedia is then free, or are we going to have to pay on top of that? See, I don't know how that's supposed to work out. I don't know if they're going to charge Amy King and me and Bill Handel and Gary and Shannon and Tim Conway Jr. You know, I don't know how that's supposed to work out. And I suspect that I don't think many of us are going to be paying for that. So it'll be interesting to see. The point of this is, it will be interesting to see whether Twitter finds its equilibrium in the next 3-4 weeks as these changes are made, and whether they gain more unique users, or as I suspect, they will lose more users and interaction, because the celebrities do provide some value to the platform because it brings people to the platform, because you knew you could, you know, complain and call John Legend a whole bunch of names, or the president of the United States, or a political figure that you like or don't like. Now, if it's just a wild, wild west, I don't know if it has that same type of value or attraction. So we're going to see in the next few weeks whether Elon Musk is right or wrong. It's Later with Mo Kelly, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. And when we come back, we're going to go out to Dodger Stadium and talk about what happened on the field last night. I'm not so sure. No, I am sure. I'm not cool with what happened on the field. I don't think it was romantic. I don't think it was special. There was no sentimentality. And actually, I'm glad he got his ass beat. I'm only more upset that she said yes to him. I'll tell you what we mean in just a moment.
You're listening to Later with Mo Kelly on demand from KFI AM 640.
Well, it's Later with Mo Kelly on KFI AM 640.
We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. And yes, it's time for Dodger baseball. The Dodger baseball game is now underway against the Arizona Diamondbacks. I haven't had a chance to really tune into it and check on it as of yet. But last night we spoke to Amy King, who was out there. And I know there was another piece of news where this guy decided to run onto the field and propose to his girlfriend. And as he was on one knee with the ring extended, he was cross body blocked by security.
Oh, yeah. They tackled him hard.
I hope they hurt him. And here's why. And I'm being real serious. I'm not trying to be funny. We've had enough on-field incidents where it's been made very clear, especially to security, if you go onto the field, you are in the arena, no pun intended, of the players. In other words, if you're there, it's okay for security to assume that you are up to no good. There's no distinction to be made whether you're proposing to your girlfriend, you're trying to raise money for cancer research. It does not matter. If you step onto that field, you are committing a crime, and security is going to get you out of there as soon as possible. It was really disappointing to me to see the subsequent news coverage, radio, television, where they were saying, oh, this was so romantic. Oh, this was so cute. Or like, I guess it was worth it because she said yes. It's like, no, you've missed the point. I'm old enough to remember the Malice at the Palace where they had players and fans fighting in the stands. I've seen too many instances where people run onto playing surfaces and either mean a player harm or something else. I remember when Monica Seles was stabbed in the back with a knife. It's really serious when someone decides to run out on the field. And from a player standpoint, a player doesn't necessarily know whether you are coming out on the field because you want to streak, you want to make a social message, or you mean the player harm, because there's precedent for all those things. And I don't think it's fair to put it on the shoulder of a player to figure it out. Like, for example, like I always say, don't approach me at the gas station because I don't know your intentions. I think it's fair for a player, a professional athlete, to say, look, don't come out on the field. And many of them say that. Don't come out on the field to play. Don't step out on the court at a basketball game.
Or you could be ejected.
And prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. Mm-hmm. And most importantly, you might get put on your neck by security. It is. I think we missed the moment when I say we, in the media specifically, because if you look at most of the coverage of this event, and I just tweeted it out again so you can see exactly what happened at Mr. Mo Kelly as a reference point. If you're not putting it in the correct context that it was illegal, that it was ill-advised, that it was not romantic, that it was actually stupid, then you're opening the door to similar acts of buffoonery. You're opening the door and almost encouraging, if not daring, some other idiot to do something similar. Because it's almost if someone were to get into a car chase, we would not be having a discussion of like, oh, how cool that is. Because we know that it influences someone else to do something similar. And I think there's a comparison to be made here where if you don't call this what it is and make sure that people understand that it's not cool, that it's not to be encouraged, that it's not romantic, then you'll have more of the same. And then you may have a real issue where it's beyond your control and someone gets hurt. And honestly, this guy, if you look how security took him out, they took him seriously as a threat and with good reason. And I hate to get up on my soapbox, but it bothered me because we should not be celebrating certain things. He could have proposed to his girlfriend anywhere, but he wanted to make it about him. And so he decided to do it in front of the whole stadium while committing an illegal act. Now, from what I understand, he's been banned from Dodger Stadium for life. I don't know if they pressed any charges, but I know he was banned for life. I'm sorry. If you get banned for life from Dodger Stadium, did you really do something which is cool or should be highlighted on the news as romantic or something that's real cute and we give it this gloss over treatment? No, I don't think so.
And I wonder if he is a big fan, because I think that big fans or the really serious fans aren't going to do that. So maybe he doesn't care if he's been banned from Dodger Stadium.
No, I'm quite sure he does not care that he's been banned from Dodger Stadium. And I think that was part of the allure. He probably knew going in that he was probably going to get kicked out, probably be banned, maybe arrested. And he made all of those calculations and said, I'm still going to do it because not only do I think my girlfriend will love it, I'll get on the news. And he's gotten on the news. There have been any number of news reports and interviews with this guy.
I'm reading a story on The Wire about it right now.
Oh, wait, Amy, did you see it? You were there yesterday.
I saw the ruckus. We didn't know what happened. Because they don't put that kind of stuff on the Jumbotron at all. They never.
For good reason.
Yeah. So we saw them basically swarm the guy and haul him out through the outfield like gates.
And I don't mean to be dark or morbid, but we do live in a post 9/11 world. And I think it's unfair to put it on the shoulders of security or anyone else to discern or ascertain whether this guy is a threat or not.
And I don't think those security, because they have LAPD
yes.
on site, but I don't think those security guys are armed.
But anyhow, I mean, they're.
But they're good at tackling.
Oh, they knocked the hell out of this guy.
Yeah.
They did their job. I just don't like the subsequent coverage because it made it look like it was either okay, it was cool, it was cute, or romantic.
But yeah, because remember I just said that I was just reading a story about it from The Wire. And it says opening day at Dodger Stadium took a bizarre yet oddly romantic turn.
When that's my point.
A fan sprinted into the outfield grass to publicly propose to his girlfriend, then endured a jaw-rattling tackle by security.
I risk my case. KFI AM 640, we're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
KFI congratulates Michael Crozier.
Golden Mike Award winner for best newscast under 15 minutes.
Michael would like everyone to know that he could easily do more than 15 minutes. If necessary, call him.
KFI.
And KOST HD2.
Los Angeles, Orange County.
Live everywhere.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.